Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Congregation, let us praise God with the words of Psalm 127, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. As God's covenant people, let us now submit our hearts and our lives to the discipline of God's holy law, testing our lives on it as on a rule of thankfulness. And after listening to the Ten Commandments of God's law, let us sing in response from Psalm 40, stanza 5. Psalm 40, stanza 5, after the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Let us humble ourselves before the Lord in prayer and confession of sins, and also ask for a blessing over the proclamation of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, we come to you to confess our dependence on you. Unless you build the house, our labor is in vain. This is true for our home life. This is true for our daily work. This is true too for our life as your congregation in this place. Unless you build the house, it is all in vain. And therefore we pray for your blessing over our assembling today. Give me as your servant what I need to bring your word with clarity and boldness and accuracy. Implant your word in our heart through your Holy Spirit, that it may take root there and grow and bring forth fruit, fruits of faith and obedience and covenant living. Bless us as we take your word into our homes and lives to further reflect on it and apply it throughout the week. Build up your people. And Father in heaven, we ask these things of you as gracious gifts. We don't deserve such building. Our sins, we confess, cry out against us. Yes, they are numberless. Help us to see our sins more and more for what they are, that we may truly hate them and repent of them. Father, we humble ourselves before you. We confess that we detest ourselves because of our sins. We pray that you will graciously forgive. Take away all our misdeeds, all our sins against you and your glory, all our sins against our neighbor. Cover them with the perfect saving righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and grant to us the joy of salvation. Do not withhold from us your mercy and grace, but look upon us in pity, forgive us, renew us, restore us. Hear our prayer in Christ Jesus' name alone. Amen. Congregation, you now have opportunity to bring your thank offering for the work of the deacons supporting those in need. This afternoon, the offering will be for our needy brothers and sisters in Sumba, Indonesia. After we have brought our offerings, let us sing together from Psalm 72, stanza 1. Psalm 72, stanza 1, after the offering. The text for this morning's proclamation of God's word are some verses from Proverbs 27. And so in connection with that text, our scripture reading is the whole of Proverbs 27. Hear the word of our God. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. A stone is heavy, and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. Wrath is cruel, and anger a torrent. But who is able to stand before jealousy? Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. A satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb, but to a hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Like a bird that wanders from its nest is a man who wanders from his place. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. A prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Take the garment of him who is surety for a stranger, and hold it in pledge when he is surety for a seductress. He who blesses his friend with a loud voice rising early in the morning, it will be counted a curse to him. Continual dripping on a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whoever restrains her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Whoever keeps the fig tree will eat its fruit, so he who waits on his master will be honored. As in water face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold. A man is valued by what others say of him. Do you grind a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Be diligent to know the state of your flocks, and attend to your herds, for riches are not forever, nor does a crown endure to all generations. When the hay is removed, the tender grass shows itself, and the herds of the mountain are gathered in, the lambs will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. You shall have enough goat's milk for your food, for the food of your household, and the nourishment of your maidservants. So far, the reading of God's word. Let us now sing in preparation for listening to God's word proclaimed from Psalm 67, stanza 1.
Thank you.
The text for this morning's proclamation of the gospel is verses 5 and 6 from Proverbs 27. I'll read those with you again. The Lord tells us, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. After the proclamation of the gospel, we sing in response from Psalm 141, stanzas 3 and 4. Psalm 141, stanzas 3 and 4 after the sermon. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what does a true friend do for you? You have common interests. Enjoy spending time together, catching up, sharing news. You expect friends to build you up. Now, do you expect your friend to wound you sometimes? And if they do rebuke you and it hurts, how do you react? Avoid them and give preference to people who will agree with you? Do you feel the pull? Do you feel the attraction toward those who give you lots of affirmation? And find yourself steering clear of those who sometimes make you feel uncomfortable? Never before have people had so many friends. This is the age of Facebook, when you can have hundreds and thousands of friends, people who receive updates of what you have posted, people who will from time to time like what you have posted. You can even pay money to companies who will organize friends for you, whether real or fake, and organize lots of likes for your webpage so that people think you are popular. Facebook has really changed the understanding of the meaning of the word friend. But our understanding of friend has to be governed by the word of God. In fact, the word used in our text requires us to think of all the relationships we have as communion of saints, not just with close friends, but with all our brothers and sisters whom we are called to love. In the sense of our text, they are to be seen as our friends, the people we love, the people Scripture calls us to love. And so I proclaim to you God's word this morning under this theme and points, true friends appreciate the difference between faithful wounds and hypocritical kisses. We'll see three things. First of all, understand the value of rebuke. Secondly, receive rebuke wisely. And thirdly, give rebuke wisely. So true friends appreciate the difference between faithful wounds and hypocritical kisses. And we'll see three things. First of all, understand the value of rebuke. Secondly, receive rebuke wisely. And thirdly, give rebuke wisely. First of all, then, understand why rebuke is important. Understand the value of rebuke. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about rebuke. It speaks about warning others from joining the ways of the wicked and calling them back from a path that leads to destruction. Chapter 6 speaks about reproofs of instruction, rebukes that teach you and guide you in the right way. Chapter 15 speaks about the reproofs or rebukes of life. In other words, rebukes that keep you from spiritual danger and preserve your life in the fullest sense. In fact, you could say that the whole book of Proverbs is full of rebukes for the one who will humbly listen and examine his life. Our text makes us think of one person rebuking another, seeing that the other person is going wrong and pointing that out to correct them. That's a dangerous path you are on. Change course. You shouldn't have said that. You should not think like that. Don't do that. Tell the other plainly where he has wrong and what has to change. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. You know what hidden love looks like? You say that you care about someone, that you are their friend. But when it comes down to it, that love does not overflow into correction and rebuke. You can even see where the other person is going wrong, that what they need to change in their life, but you keep your mouth shut. That's love carefully concealed. At the end of the day, you would not call that true love for that person. It does not serve them. You don't mind calling them your friend, but it does not translate into those difficult deeds, speaking up in difficult times. Think about this, congregation. Why is rebuke necessary? Well, consider the bigger picture. We live in a fallen world. People don't do the right thing automatically. You know the human heart. It's inclined to go astray. There is stubbornness, weakness, blindness. And it's all combined for a perfect storm of people who stumble in so many ways. That's the miserable result of the fall into sin. Even among those who have new life in them worked through God's Holy Spirit. But God already made clear to his Old Testament people that they had a task to rebuke each other. As we are told in Leviticus 19, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your brother and not bear sin because of him. The Israelites had to love each other, and that included rebuking and correcting each other. That's the blessing that God gave in the communion of saints in the Old Testament. Look after each other. Keep each other in the ways of the Lord, and that's why you are going to sometimes have to rebuke each other. That's the calling of God's law. And so it's no wonder that there is so much reflection and instruction about rebuke in the book of Proverbs. This book is concerned with teaching people the right, the wise way to live, but then clearly in light of God's law. The nations around Israel also had wisdom writings, but their concern was to teach the people how to live in good relationships amongst each other as fellow men. However, the wisdom writings of a book like Proverbs was distinct in that they taught people how to live together in a good way, but in the context of fearing God and keeping his commandments. Now we should note further, these Proverbs of chapter 27 were composed by Solomon but copied out in the days of Hezekiah. So these Proverbs enjoyed some extra attention during Hezekiah's days. In those days, congregation, there was plenty of need and opportunity for rebuke. Those were days of defamation when God's people had been taking over idolatry and worldliness. Hezekiah, as a reforming king, had to admonish the Levites to be faithful in their service of the Lord as he worked hard to restore the temple worship. And then Hezekiah sent runners throughout all the land, messengers, admonishing the people to turn away from their disobedience and return to the true service of the Lord. And so you can imagine, in a context like that, there would have been lots of needs for admonitions and rebukes in those days. Hezekiah was busy with his reformatory work. Rebuke remains necessary in the New Testament context. The body of Christ should be characterized by love. Christ died for His people to redeem sinners from their willfulness, from their stubbornness. And those sinners for whom Christ died are not perfect yet. They need to be preserved in their redemption. And our Lord Jesus Christ gives His people to each other as fellow members of His body to keep each other in His ways. And that congregation takes admonitions, corrections, and rebuke, reminders, nudges in our conversations, in our interaction with each other. Think too of the New Testament instruction around discipline. That when your brother sins, you need to go and tell him his fault. The Lord Jesus spoke about this and the apostles in their letters. God's people must admonish and rebuke one another. And they gave us example too, the Lord Jesus and his apostles. Think, for example, of the Lord Jesus, how much rebuking and admonishing he did. After all, he was a true and righteous man, and so the instruction about rebuke in the book of Proverbs, that was also instruction that he had to live by. He rebuked people when they needed it. And not just the hypocritical scribes and Pharisees, they certainly received their share of rebuke, but not just them, but also his disciples. He had to tell his disciples off for arguing about greatness. Who's going to be the greatest? He had to sternly reprimand Peter when Peter tried to distract him from his task. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. What a rebuke, congregation. Imagine being on the receiving end of that. But that rebuke did not indicate that the Lord Jesus did not love his disciples. On the contrary, it was because he loved them. Because he desired that they serve him in faithfulness. That they understand the gospel about his work for their salvation. It was out of his great love for them that he rebuked them and he corrected them when they were wrong. He even had to rebuke his disciples when they wrongly rebuked others. There was that time when the believing parents brought their children to Jesus for him to touch their children and to bless their children. The disciples rebuked the parents, pushed them back, and Jesus told the disciples in no uncertain terms they were completely in the wrong. Yes, that can sometimes happen. That you have to rebuke someone for wrongly rebuking someone else. Just because someone rebukes others does not mean that they are necessarily in the right. The apostles too gave examples of rebuking when necessary. Paul writes in Galatians 2 about the time that he had to publicly confront Peter when Peter's hypocrisy in not eating with Gentiles when Judaizers were present. Firm rebuke. And as one final example, think of the letter that the Lord Jesus sent to the church in Laodicea. They thought that they were fine. They were rich. They had need of nothing. The Lord Jesus told them, "You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. You are completely wrong about yourself. You are deluded. Repent. You think things are fine, but you're in danger of me spitting you out of my mouth. Repent. Turn to me, because if you don't, it will be terrible." And then in that letter, the Lord Jesus added, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." It was an act of love when Jesus Christ sternly rebuked that congregation in Laodicea. That's why there must also be admonitions in the preaching. Because rebuke is important for the Church of Jesus Christ. We have not yet arrived at perfection. We need rebuke, correction. We need to be warned about sinful paths and attitudes, to be encouraged in the right way. Those whom the Lord Jesus loves, he rebukes. Therefore, beloved, take in the message of our text. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. That's what the head of the body does, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he expects his members to do likewise. Rebuke your friends. Correct them. Iron sharpens iron. Don't say you care if you see your friends making a fool of themselves and don't gently point it out. Don't say you love them if they are breaking commandments at a party and you just laugh. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Don't stand by when they are living in disobedience, but warn them, admonish them, and if they don't change, continue the discipline process. Of course, not every rebuke will end up in discipline. Sometimes it's a one-off correction that is needed, and you say it and leave it at that, and the moment has passed. And then you leave it with them that next time they do better. You sharpen them in that way. It's easy to flatter another person, to tell them things that they want to hear. That makes them feel good. You affirm them. But in the grand scheme of things, that does not really help a fellow sinner. And in the long run, it won't reflect well on yourself either. As we read in Proverbs 28, he who rebukes a man will find more favor afterward than he who flatters with his tongue. Rebuke your friends. The word used for friend in verse 6 is literally one who loves. A friend in this context is one who loves you and whom you are called to love. And you are all called to love each other as the body of Christ. You are all to be friends with one another in that way. Not best friends, you can only have a few of those, but you all need to friend each other in that way in the church that you love each other. And fellow members of the body will rebuke each other, correct each other. You say you love the others? You sing psalms about loving the fellow saints? Well then, that love ought to come out in deeds and words of love. Also rebuke. As the Apostle John writes in his third letter, my little children, let us not love in word or tongue, that is, say that we love each other and let it go no further, but in deed and truth, that is, our love should come out in concrete actions. But before we consider more about the how of rebuke, how we're going to go about it, first we need to consider the instruction our text gives about receiving rebuke wisely, being on the receiving end, and that in the second place, receive rebuke wisely. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in our Lord Jesus Christ. Through faith in him, congregation, you receive true wisdom, the wisdom you need to live and serve as faithful children of God. And Jesus Christ desires his people to be taught by his word to be wise. That's how they receive the treasures of wisdom and knowledge which are found in him. And so also the instruction of our text is necessary for you to grow in your wisdom as a believer. Be wise in the way you receive rebuke. Brothers and sisters, who likes to be corrected? You did something, and then someone says to you, that was not the right thing to do. You say something and someone says to you, you have it all wrong. You shouldn't have said that. You push certain things, certain directions, and someone says to you, that's the wrong direction. Scripture points in another direction. That's not helpful. Who likes hearing that? Who likes to be rebuked, corrected? Who likes a friend who acts like your conscience, who says, I don't think we should do this? Who's always asking, is this the right thing to do? We'd rather be liked by others. We prefer that others approve of what we do, that they like how we live, that they give lots of likes on our Facebook page. Even if they don't like it, just like it anyway. It feels good, it looks good. We like to be affirmed and complimented. Even if the person does not care about us and compliments us for his own purposes. That's why we need to think carefully about this proverb. We need to be able to distinguish between faithful wounds and hypocritical kisses. Why is it that we almost instinctively shy away from rebuke? Because rebuke hurts. It touches us deeply. It reaches our soul. That person thinks I'm wrong, thinks I did or said the wrong thing. I don't like that. Rebukes wound. Even if you keep up appearances on the outside, you're talking with someone and they give you a rebuke, you keep a good face, but on the inside you wince and you feel it. And the Holy Spirit tells you exactly. Rebukes hurt. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. As we saw earlier, the word for friend in our text simply means one who is loving. A different word is used for friend in other places in Scripture, but here it's just that, one who is loving. And by contrast, the word enemy is simply one who is hating. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of someone loving you. That means when it says those wounds are faithful, those wounds will help you. They will make you grow. They are trustworthy. When it says that the wounds are faithful, that faithfulness is really a reflection of the person who gives you the wound. He is faithful, and this quality characterizes the wound he gives you. The wounds proceed from an upright and truly loving and faithful soul, and they really promote the well-being of the person who is wounded. Those wounds are given out of love and for your good and well-being. These faithful wounds of those who love you are contrasted with the kisses of those who hate you. The translation deceitful, as we have it in our text, is not the best here. And it says, the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. It's better to translate this as the kisses of an enemy are profuse, are abundant. The kisses of one who hates are abundant. There's lots and lots of them. Scripture speaks about kisses between a man and a woman in love. That's how we normally understand that today. But it also speaks about kisses between close friends and family, like between David and Jonathan, close friends, or between Jacob and Esau, when Esau was no longer angry with Jacob. A kiss is a sign of love and support and fellowship. We might not use kisses in that way anymore today, but someone who wants to hide his hatred will instead use words and gestures, maybe not kisses, but words and gestures to pretend that he likes you and cares for you. So while the form changes, the danger remains. The text says that the kisses of an enemy are abundant. Such a person can go to great lengths to hide his real intentions. Not just the odd kiss of fake love and fellowship, but lots of them. Because he's covering his lack of love for you. Abundant in the way he tells you that he loves you and cares for you, all the while covering over that he really does not. He does not care for you, but he has his own agenda. Think of the betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Judas used a kiss to indicate to the soldiers whom they had to arrest. He betrayed the Savior with a kiss. And then it's all the more striking how Jesus responded to this kiss of Judas. He said to him, "Friend, why have you come? Friend." Judas had evil intent behind that kiss of friendship and fellowship that he gave to Jesus. Flattery is similar. When people say lots of nice things to you, but they are seeking their own advantage, they have a hidden agenda, but they cover it with lots of compliments and affirmations of you. Congregation, learn to distinguish. A wise person understands the difference between the faithful wounds of a friend and the profuse gestures of love and support from a friend who really does not care about your true well-being. It's so easy to be turned off by one who wounds you and to gravitate towards those who affirm you. But learn to distinguish. Fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver gloss. Proverbs 26. It looks precious. It's got that silver gloss over it, but it's worthless. Some more proverbs on this. He who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. When someone has an evil heart, then they can sometimes speak so nicely to you, even as they plan to hurt you. That's what makes it so hard to see through, for you cannot see into someone else's heart. And their words appear nice. The proverb says his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. It will eventually come out, that hatred he has in his heart, one way or another. Maybe in the way that he treats you. You can see that there is hatred in his heart. Maybe in the way that he treats others. And then you can see that there is hatred in his heart, this person who's saying nice things to you. And so you should not trust him when he speaks kindly to you, seeing how he treats others. Of course, they want to cover their wickedness with a pleasant veneer. Beloved congregation, learn to welcome faithful wounds. Be cautious when the expressions of appreciation and affirmation are abundant. And don't shy away from someone who sometimes hurts you with rebuke. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Don't avoid friends and brothers and sisters who make you feel uncomfortable, who bluntly point things out sometimes. It hurts. Yes, the Holy Spirit knows that. That's why he speaks to you about the wounds of a friend. Don't shy away from admonitions from the elders or admonitions from the pulpit. Don't get your back up. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, of someone who loves you and cares for your well-being. What kind of doctor would you consider him to be? If he finds out that you have a serious illness which is going to require radical and hard treatment, but then cannot tell you about it because he does not want to upset you. He feels awkward about telling you that that lump is not just a pimple under the skin, but actually a tumour which needs all kind of treatment. How long before you would go and find a doctor who would tell you the truth, even if it's not pleasant? Be wise in responding to rebuke. The verses before our text teach you how not to react. In verse 3, a stone is heavy and sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than both of them. In other words, it's hard to endure and bear the anger of a fool, heavier than a stone or a pile of sand. Don't react in anger to rebuke, because that makes it very hard for others to rebuke you. Often it takes us little to get us really upset. It's hard to endure a fool's wrath. That's not the way to respond to rebuke. If there is one thing that repeatedly comes up throughout the book of Proverbs, it's the danger of not listening to rebuke. Proverbs 10, he who refuses correction goes astray. Proverbs 12, he who hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 13, a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. Proverbs 15, a scoffer does not love one who corrects him. The consequences ultimately can be dire. Proverbs 15, he who hates correction will die, which ultimately points to the everlasting destruction which will come upon those who insist on refusing correction. Or Proverbs 19, he who is often rebuked and hardened his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Don't get your back up when someone rebukes you. Sometimes people are ready to fly off the handle as soon as they hear something that wounds them. And that actually makes it hard to admonish and rebuke. The anger simmering just below the surface can be hard to bear for someone who loves them and wants to rebuke them. Heavier than rocks and sand. That's not to say that every rebuke is justified. Think of the rebuke the disciples gave to the parents who wanted to bring their children to Jesus. That was a rebuke for which the Lord Jesus rebuked the disciples. Not every rebuke is justified. But we are in danger if we don't welcome rebuke. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who loves you and cares for you and seeks your good, not just that you feel good, but really seeks your spiritual and eternal well-being, and in that spirit rebukes you. Faithful are the wounds you receive from him or her. Be a person, congregation, through the power of the Holy Spirit, be a person who welcomes rebuke. That's the wisdom that the Lord Jesus calls you to in this text. That's how he, in love, builds up his body. The church is in danger of being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We need to grow in maturity, and we need each other for that. When everybody speaks the truth in love and so builds the body to maturity in Christ. And that process is going to hurt sometimes. You will feel wounded. But that is how Christ, the good shepherd, rules over his flock. Keep your eye always on him and his work. Of ourselves, we are proud. We don't like to be corrected. Flattery and profuse kisses, they suit us better. How we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst. That's what it takes. The Spirit to continue his work. The Spirit who works humility. Who changes us. So that we are humble towards each other. So that we are wise and accept rebuke. So that we submit to one another as the body of Christ. True friends. Christian friends. Brothers and sisters who love each other. They understand the difference between faithful wounds and hypocritical kisses. That brings us to consider in the last point, give rebuke wisely. So we've heard in the sermon so far, rebuke is important. And people have to listen when they are rebuked and not get their backs up. So now I'm going to give it to that person I've been thinking that I should speak to. Stop. Wait a minute. Be wise. Give rebukes wisely. Don't forget any of the wisdom of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, there is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Clearly, the Holy Spirit tells us you can wound without helping. Proverbs makes clear that words can also be very destructive and thus not helpful. Not all the wounds we give to others are faithful wounds. The teaching that faithful are the wounds of a friend is also instructive for us when we give rebuke. Don't forget that the word friend in our text literally means one who loves. You must offer rebuke, even rebuke that hurts, as one who loves the person being rebuked. The rebuke must be done in love. Open rebuke is better than hidden love, because open rebuke is an act of love, and that's what is to characterize the rebuke too. Does the person you rebuke know that you love them, really? That you count them as your friend in Christ? What would stop you from saying, before you offer rebuke, I love you, brother. I really care for you. And that's why I need to say this to you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Make sure the wounds you give are faithful wounds. Wounds that proceed from a loving heart and whose whole intent is to build up the other person. The tongue of the wise promotes health. Make sure that your rebuke is so that they will grow as a member of Christ's body, grow in maturity, grow in love, grow in joy, grow in strength, grow in obedience. Examine your heart. Ask yourself this question when you're going to rebuke someone. Am I motivated by love or by a desire to show up that other person? Am I really after their growth? Wounds can build up, but they can also break down. Someone who loves will only wound others for their health and benefit, not to break down. How we need, how we are dependent on the work of Christ's Spirit in our midst. By nature, we are sinners who don't automatically love each other. How we need the work of Christ's Spirit in our midst so that we have that love for the other, so that we can truly be friends in that way. And the comfort is, congregation, Christ has poured out the Spirit on the church who works in us that love. Cry out to your Savior to continue to work that kind of love in you. Seek from Him humility too, another gift of the Spirit. The humility that puts yourself at the service of your neighbor. Be scriptural in your rebuke. Your correcting each other should ultimately be about helping each other grow in scriptural obedience and living. How we need the Spirit who has been promised to us to give us the wisdom to know the right words to say to correct another, to show them how they are to grow in godliness. Be wise in your rebuke, but don't hold back from rebuke. Open rebuke is better than hidden love. The Lord Jesus loves you, congregation. He loves His flock. He laid down His life to purchase you from the tyranny and slavery of the evil one. He died to free you from sins, to give you everlasting life. He is the faithful Savior who will preserve you for your eternal inheritance. And He calls you to be instruments for that, to be true friends to one another, to boldly and humbly and lovingly rebuke your friends, to sometimes even wound each other as you seek to build each other up in faithful service to the Lord. Beloved, the world and the devil attack the church. They want us to become full of world conformity. Our flesh not only goes along with that, but also resists rebuking lovingly and receiving rebuke. Our flesh prefers people who always like what we do and shies away from people who wound us, even when it's faithful wounding. And that is dangerous. Hear the words of our text. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Be a good friend. Welcome the wounds of a friend. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you and would have you build each other up and be built up also through the rebukes you give and receive. Amen. Beloved, there are the following announcements. Brother and Sister Kurt and Becky Bosfeld have been blessed with a healthy baby daughter whom they have named Katie Joy. Another thing to remember in prayer this morning, Sister Debbie Plater's grandmother Cruiser was taken home to the Lord this past week. Now, the station has been requested by Brother Bronson Decker to the Free Reformed Church of Albany. Will be, the Lord willing, a service on Friday morning, 9:30 a.m. to celebrate and remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Reverend Elkema from the Free Reformed Church of Albany has declined the call extended to him from the Providence Reformed Church of Hamilton, Ontario. And three home visits for the coming week, the family R. Bentinck, Monday, 7:30 p.m. The family S. Plater, Monday, 7:30 p.m. and the family J. Butenbos, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Congregation, let us come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for your word. We thank you that you teach us in your ways, that you'd comfort us with the gospel, that you promise to work in us through your Holy Spirit the things we need to serve you as your people. And Father, we pray that you will work with your word as we have heard it this morning. Teach us discernment. Help us to understand the difference between faithful wounds and hypocritical kisses. Keep us from using each other for our own purposes. Keep us from hearts, from covering over hearts that couldn't care less about others, from covering such hearts with loving words and gestures. Grant that we may be genuine in our love. And give us love and wisdom to rebuke in faithfulness. That any wounds we give to others may be faithful wounds. They may be wounds that are intended to build them up in godliness, holiness, faithfulness, and obedience. Give us the courage and love to engage in mutual discipline. And give us humility to accept rebuke, that we may not shy away, but that we may even welcome it when a brother or sister corrects us for our good. Use rebuke in the midst of the congregation to cause us to grow as your people. Grant that we may be good friends and build up good friendships. And Father, we pray too for the work of the office bearers. Bless the work of Reverend Anderson as he proclaims your word in our midst week by week. Also, when rebukes come from the pulpit, grant that we may listen and take it in. Give him the strength he needs to bring your word. Bless us as office bearers as we make visits in the coming week. As we do our work in the midst of the flock, give us wisdom, courage, love, that also we may rebuke when we need to, and that we may do that in love and do that to build. And Father, will you bless us as your people in this place? Be with us whenever we experience difficulties and brokenness of this life, physical limitations or spiritual struggles. Be a comfort to us. Surround us with your love. Comfort us. We also think of Brother and Sister Dwan and Debbie Plater, the family, as they mourn the loss of her grandmother in Tasmania. You've taken Sister Cruiser home to yourself. Lord, will you comfort them at this time? Give them what they need. We thank you that we can know that our loved ones, when they die trusting in you, that they go to be with their Savior. And we thank you for that. And we thank you that we can look forward to serving you together with all your children, with restored bodies on the new earth. What a future you give us as your children. We thank you too for new life in the congregation. We thank you with Brother and Sister Kurt and Becky Bosfeld that you bless them with a healthy baby daughter. Lord, will you be with them? And in due time, may present their daughter for baptism, that she may receive the sign and seal of your covenant, and bless them as they train her in your ways, as they teach Katie about her God and what he has given to her and the calling he brings to her. Father, we pray that you will bless all the work that's done in the homes and the congregation in training the next generation in your ways. Give us as parents wisdom and strength to do that, and love and insight, and bless us as children that we may listen and submit and grow. Bless our marriages. Bless that we may serve you as husband and wife, showing forth that relationship between Christ and his church and the way we relate to each other in marriage. Father, will you also watch over us as federation? Bless the ministers. Give them what they need to faithfully proclaim your word. Father, we also thank you as federation that Reverend Elkema could see the way clear to continue to serve the church in Albany. Lord, will you bless him, bless the congregation there. But we also think of the church, Providence Canadian Reformed Church of Hamilton. Lord, as they continue to be vacant, we pray that you will in due time provide for them, comfort them. Be with all the vacant churches in our Federation, grant them in due time ministers of the word to preach and teach. Father in heaven, we pray that you will continue to bless us as your people. Grant that we may be a light in this dark world, that those around us may see in us and hear from us the riches of belonging to our Lord Jesus Christ, the riches in the gospel. Lord, give us faithfulness in our witnessing. Bless this day. May we rejoice in you. We thank you for a day of rest. May it serve to refresh us spiritually and physically. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congregation, let us sing our final song, hymn 61, stanza 2. The blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.